If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem, and they asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are about rules taught by men.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain this parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. These make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unclean hand, unwashed hands does not make him unclean." As we come to this discourse of Jesus and the Pharisees, let's go to God in prayer, shall we? Father, we look to you this morning again. Take these words that were directed initially at the Pharisees. Lord, help us to see how they might apply to us too. Help us, Lord, to make sure that we are right with you and walking as you would have us to walk. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. In the northern province of Galilee, Jesus was attracting huge crowds of people around him wherever he went. Even when he wasn't in a particular area, he was still the main topic of conversation. Jesus' immense popularity, his teachings and actions, especially those regarding the authority and the importance of the Pharisaical traditions, threatened the influence of the Pharisees, not just in Galilee, but throughout all Israel. So soon after feeding the 5,000 men plus women and children, a delegation of Pharisees and scribes, or teachers of the law, traveled 90 miles by foot from Jerusalem to Galilee to confront Jesus. Quick history. As a group, the Pharisees developed after the Jews returned from the Babylonian captivity in 538 BC. Their mission was a good mission. It was to defend the Jewish way of life against all foreign influences. They were strict legalists who believed in the Old Testament, but also rabbinic traditions. They were nationalists in politics. They wanted to bring in the kingdom of God upon the whole earth. They maybe started out good, but sadly, over time, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had created a legalistic religion of self-righteousness, which focused more on Jewish tradition than on the word of God. It went so far that in the Talmud, a collection of rabbinic teachings, which are strictly adhered to by the Pharisees, it says, "It is a greater offense to teach anything contrary to the voice of the rabbis than to contradict Scripture itself." The religious leaders were good at observing traditions, but their hearts were far from God. Jesus came confronting this hypocritical worship of his day in the same way the prophets and the priests had done before him, like read out of Isaiah. Jesus' message was really the same as David gave his son Solomon in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, where he said, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion, with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts." Jesus came to bring the true religion of the heart, not a religion based on external actions. It was for this reason that the Jewish religious leaders were openly hostile towards Jesus and his ministry. And it was for this reason that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law tried to discredit Jesus and to publicly shame him. In today's encounter, we see one of the Pharisees' accusations. And then we see Jesus' reply or rebuttal, if you please. Pharisees' accusation. "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders?" Basically, why do the disciples break the traditions? Most likely, this group of Pharisees and teachers of law had come at the request of the Galilean members of their sect. The Galileans needed some help, so they called in the big guns from Jerusalem. Once the Pharisees arrived, they followed Jesus from place to place, watching for something to criticize, some way to discredit Jesus' ministry in the eyes of the people, with the ultimate goal of getting rid of him permanently. Mark wrote a little bit more about this. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, begin the first verse. Mark 7, beginning in verse 1. So writing of this same occurrence, Mark writes, again, Mark 7, verse 1. "The Pharisees, some teachers of the law, who had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean," that is, unwashed. "The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles." So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" Jesus replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it's written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and instead are holding to the traditions of men.'" And he went on and said, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother. Anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'What other help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." That's what Jesus was talking about. The Pharisees walked around looking for an issue, and the opportunity came when the Pharisees saw some of Jesus' disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. These washings had nothing to do with being clean from dirt, like when your kids come in from outside and say, "Go wash your hands." This was not cleaning, that kind of cleaning. This was not a cleaning commanded by the law of God. The Pharisees insisted that the Jewish people perform specific ceremonial washings, not because of a command by the law, because that was part of the rabbi's teachings. This hand washing had become so precisely defined that the amount of water, the position of the hands and the fingers, even the direction the flowing water was to go, was all strictly regulated. The tradition began centuries earlier to remind the Jews that they were God's elect people and therefore had to keep themselves separate. However, a good reminder had gradually degenerated into an empty ritual. In Jesus' day, the tradition of the elders had overshadowed, had superseded God's word. From the Pharisees' viewpoint, the rituals of Judaism could be practiced outwardly without any regard to the condition of one's heart. The Pharisees took their traditions, including this hand washing, very seriously. In their minds, this act of eating food with unclean hands was a serious offense. So that's why they came up with the accusation. Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They were scandalized and they were outraged. They're outraged that Jesus would allow his disciples to openly disregard a ritual they considered so important. Jesus replied to the Pharisees' charge against his disciples by making a countercharge. He asked them and the teachers of the law, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? In other words, why do you break God's commands? Since the Pharisees and the teachers of the law knew the Ten Commandments well, they could easily recite them. They knowingly and willingly replaced God's specific command in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, as Zacchaeus said earlier, to honor your father and mother with their own contradictory traditions. The religious establishment had come up with an ingenious way of breaking the law and not feeling guilty. Instead of using their wealth to help their parents, the Pharisees could dedicate their wealth to God. They called it Corban. Such wealth could only be used for spiritual purposes and not supporting one's parents, for that matter, anyone else. Though a person could declare his possessions Corban, he was not required to donate them immediately. He could continue to benefit of his wealth, even though technically it belonged to God. This system allowed them to maintain an external front of dedication to God, while at the same time turn their backs on their parents and on others. The Corban rule would cause a person to dishonor his parents and disobey God. Jesus called them hypocrites. He called them hypocrites as he quoted from Isaiah 29, verse 13. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. They pretended to be something they were not. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, beginning at verse 25. When we get to Matthew 23, Jesus is really laying into the Pharisees. This is towards the end of 3 years. Just pick out one of these places. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside also will be clean. The internal and the external were on opposite ends of the spiritual spectrum for the Pharisees. Pharisees were more concerned about upholding their rabbinic traditions than obeying God's word. Sadly, in their position as religious leaders, they not only neglected the commands of God themselves, but they also taught others to do the same. Throughout this conversation, the crowd was sitting there listening to Jesus talk to the Pharisees. So Jesus turned to them and told them, listen and understand. Jesus was about to say something that wasn't hard to understand, but it was going to be hard to accept. Jesus then said, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Jesus made it clear that pure is an inner spiritual quality, not an outward physical practice. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, Moses wrote, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Beginning verse 22. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22, we read, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. God's concerned with what's on the inside, not what you do on the outside. Turn over to chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Samuel's trying to find the replacement for King Saul, and he's looking at David's brothers. In verse 7, we read, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.'" God wants love, wants obedience to come from the heart, not merely outward obedience to a set of rules. The disciples were astonished at what Jesus was teaching about foods. They had been raised as good Jews. They knew the difference between clean and unclean foods, between kosher and unkosher food. What Jesus was saying about food was hard for them to understand. But as I mentioned too, they and Jesus had another problem. This teaching that Jesus had was offending the Pharisees and was certain to cause serious problems in the future. But Jesus wasn't worried about the Pharisees. He said that neither they nor their teachings were from God. As in the parable of tares, these hypocrites would be uprooted, judged, and cast into the fiery furnace of Matthew chapter 13. Jesus also compared the Pharisees to blind guides. Not only did the hypocrisy of the Pharisees blind them to their own inner impurities, but in their blindness, they led the people astray. Back in Matthew 23, verse 15, Jesus said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over the land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are." The Pharisees were the blind leading the blind. As the leader of the Pharisees, Peter spoke up, leader of the disciples, Peter spoke up for all of them. They still weren't sure. It wasn't that Peter and the disciples didn't understand what Jesus meant. It was just hard to accept. Even though Jesus patiently explained it again, Peter really wasn't able to grasp that idea that all foods were clean. He would need to be taught again and again, including once on the roof of the house of Simon the Tanner in Acts chapter 10. The meaning is obvious to us, but it was astonishingly new and contradictory to Orthodox Jews. Jesus said that the food that goes into the mouth does not affect the spiritual heart. What one eats does not affect his spiritual heart. It simply goes through the digestive system and comes out in human waste. By teaching that food and ceremonial purification rites did not affect a person's inner purity, Jesus was saying that the Pharisees' religious preoccupation with dietary and purification laws was no value to a person's spiritual heart, to a person's godliness. The tradition of the elders had nothing to do with true spiritual cleanness, since they only focused on the external and not on a person's heart. Ceremonial cleanings, even those governed by the laws of Moses, never did more than be pictures of the spiritual cleansing by God. Jesus said, "But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. These make a man unclean." The heart represents the inner person, his thoughts, attitudes, desires, motives. When the heart is filled with evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, lying, slander, and other ungodliness, then that person is unclean. The things that make one unclean come from an unwashed heart, not from unwashed hands. True righteousness begins in the heart and works throughout a disciple's life to produce an external righteousness. The Pharisees came with an accusation to Jesus. Why do your disciples break tradition? Sad thing was, what started as a good reminder had degenerated into an empty ritual. And the Pharisees were scandalized and outraged. Jesus replied, why do you break God's commands? Because they had made this thing called Corban, which is dedicating wealth to God in order not to support parents. And Jesus called them hypocrites. Jesus taught the crowd that love and obedience come from the heart and not from outward obedience to rules. And Jesus taught the disciples that the Pharisees were the blind leading the blind. What one eats does not affect his spiritual heart, and that true righteousness begins in the heart. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, failed to understand that their corruption, their sinfulness, was on the inside. See, to all outside appearances, they appeared to be supremely religious. A good Pharisee was the most outwardly devout person on the block. But regardless of what they did and said, their religion was superficial. It was only surface deep, and it was inadequate for their salvation. That's why Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God already talked about this traditions versus the heart issue. Turn to another place. Turn to Micah chapter 6. See my Sunday school class this morning. This is necessary. Turn to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 6. Gets lost in the minor prophets. Micah chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. Micah chapter 6, beginning verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come with him before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. The way for a person to walk humbly before God is to admit that he, she, is a sinner. Romans 3:10 puts it this way, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's only one way that a person can have eternal life and not be thrown out with the tares along with the Pharisees. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Works, doing something, doing anything, have nothing to do with the salvation of one's soul. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, had a problem with traditions. But traditions in and of themselves are neither good nor bad. Memorial Day that we just celebrated is a good tradition. Although, truthfully, many people have forgotten its purpose. Instead, use it as a day to begin summer. There are many wonderful traditions, some like Lent and Advent, that believers have celebrated throughout the centuries, are helpful reminders of our Christian heritage. The problem arises when those traditions are given authority equal to or even greater than Scripture. Whenever the Word of God is made null and invalid by tradition, as it was by the Pharisees, it is wrong. It's an offense to God. The Bible must be supreme over any tradition and anything else. Hypocrisy is still around today. How many people try to be a Christian by following a set of rules? Perhaps the Ten Commandments plus. Or by being in church whenever the doors are open. Or by superficially celebrating the Lord's table. Or by any other number of actions. There's only one solution to hypocrisy. It's the same as it is for any other sin. repentance. Before Paul met Jesus, he was a good Pharisee with impeccable credentials. But when he became a Christian, he realized that those things were worthless. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in the middle of verse 4, at least in my Bible. Philippians chapter 3, begin in the middle of verse 4. Paul wrote, "If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, in the works that I can do," he writes, "I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." Isaiah put it a lot more simply in Isaiah 64, verse 6. "All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags." Think about the Pharisees, their reliance on tradition for their salvation. There's one question that each person needs to consider. When it comes your time to leave this earth, and you were to stand before the Almighty God, and if he were to ask you why you deserve to be allowed into heaven, what will you say? Since we are all sinners, no one deserves heaven. Romans 6:23, the first part says, "For the wages of sin is death," a short term for hell. But it goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Or as John 3:36 says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." Do you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead for your sins? Is he the Lord of your life? Considering traditions, are there any traditions, any empty rituals in your life as a Christian, or perhaps even the life of this church, that supersede God's word? For example, there are some Baptist churches that demand baptism for salvation. That's not what the Bible says. Baptism is a matter of obedience to God, but it doesn't make me saved or not saved. As individuals, as a church, we must make sure that we make God's word first in our lives. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." Bottom line, I guess, is for us, do you know God's word well enough so that you are motivated by God's word and God's love and not by man-made traditions? Beware of hypocrisy. Let's pray. Lord, it's so easy to be a Pharisee. It's so easy to have a bunch of rules and say, "Okay, I've done that, I've done that, I've done that, I'm okay." Maybe that's why it was so easy, Lord, but as your word shows, it's not what we do, it's our hearts. Lord, help us to look at our hearts, to make sure that our hearts are right with you, that our hearts are in tune with what you would have us to do, what you would have us to say. Then, Lord, may the internal righteousness transform us, as it says in Romans 12, from the inside out, and that our Christianity, our love for you, will come from the inside out and turn us into the Christians that you would have us to be. Help us, Lord, not to be hypocrites. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.